Welcome to Educators to Educators. I'm Carrie Conover, and this is Episode 8, Trust in Schools. Today, I will be speaking with Gwen Cram, who is a principal in the Chicago Public Schools, and who is currently writing her dissertation on building trust within school communities. If you're new to listening to Educators to Educators, every episode is focused on one topic and then three takeaways within that topic. So today, we're going to focus on how to build trust with students, how to build trust with staff, and how to build trust with parents. I had the opportunity to tour Gwen's school and meet many of her students before we sat down for this interview in her very, very busy office. Before we get started, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your education history and how you ended up here today.
Thanks again for having me, Carrie. That's an interesting question. So I actually started out being, I was a pre-med student in undergrad, and I joke and say that I saw the light. But I did a short stint in Albion Public Schools in Albion, Michigan, which is a really interesting place. It was one of the first integrated, truly integrated schools that I had ever seen. And I wanted to figure out how they did it. So actually, I took a semester and I came to my counselors and people in the college suggested that I come to Chicago and go through a program called the Chicago Center, which basically takes students from rural liberal arts schools, brings them to the city, and kind of unpacks white privilege, unpacks how religion, socioeconomic status, and their own race influences how they view the world.
Okay.
And from my experience in Chicago, I fell in love with the city, and when I graduated, I moved here and never looked back. I started teaching with the Chicago Board of Ed at the age of 21 on Chicago's west side in the North Lawndale neighborhood, and after teaching a few years in the elementary school level, I was asked to start a brand new high school on the west side in Austin, where I had a leader who really pushed me and really mentored me to be a leader. So at the age of 23 or 24, I started thinking about what school leadership would look like. And at the age of 29, became an assistant principal. And after a few years, I'm now blessed with the opportunity to be a principal in Chicago Public Schools.
So you are currently working to get your doctorate, is that correct?
Yes. May, knock on wood.
Nice. And you are writing a dissertation. You told me you just finished your draft, your dissertation.
Rough draft, yes.
Yes, your rough draft. And it's on trust.
It is.
So how did you land on this topic? How did this become something that you were going to pour your entire life, mind, soul into?
So actually, that is I really appreciate that question. One of the first books we read in the program is called Trust Matters, Leadership for Successful Schools, by Megan Tishin Moran. I think I pronounced her name correctly. I apologize if I did not. And she really talks about how trustworthy leadership is at the heart of productive schools. And that idea just really stuck with me. I think regardless of the school setting, regardless if you're a first-year principal or you've been in the business for 20 years, I think this idea of trust is really critical to ensure that the change work or the improvement work that you're trying to do with your staff and parents and students within a school setting is happening at the best possible level, right? So you're doing it at high levels, and you're involving a variety of stakeholders in this. But with that, you have to have trust. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that obviously trust goes both ways. But the focus of this podcast will be really through the leader's lens. So what does it mean for a principal to take trust head on and really ensure that they develop trust with students, trust with staff, and trust with parents?
Are you a teacher or school leader who uses growth mindset in your classroom or school? Are you really passionate about growth mindset and have seen the difference it's made in your classroom? I want to talk to you. I'm planning exciting episodes for 2018, and growth mindset is definitely top of mind. If you're interested in talking about growth mindset or even being on the podcast, please reach out to me. You can email me at carrie@ccincg.com. That's C-A-R-R-I-E @ccincg.com. Or just visit my website at conoverinnovativeconsulting.com. We are going to get back to my conversation with Gwen now. During this part of the conversation, Gwen and I were chatting about how much I value the 10 years I spent teaching in the Chicago Public Schools, but that I also valued the 4 years I spent traveling the country, working in educational technology, and meeting thousands of teachers and hundreds of principals and administrators. And what I learned is that everyone in a school building needs to take part of the responsibility of building trust in schools.
The stakeholders within the school were really all we have, right? Schools are under such scrutiny these days.
Yes.
That this idea of trust really needs to be present, because I feel like we're being bombarded with new mandates and standardized testing and lack of funding, and the list goes on and on, right?
Yeah.
And yet we're still supposed to produce the same outcomes, if not better outcomes, than when you and I were in school.
Yep. So let's get started with our topic of trust. The first thing we're going to talk about is, as a principal, how do you gain trust with students?
There are a few key moves that I think a leader can do. But I really want to stress the fact that authenticity has to be at the forefront of building trust, right? So for students, I think, number one, students need clear expectations. What do you expect out of them? Mm-hmm. How do you model those expectations? And then what's the feedback you give students when they do or do not meet the expectations?
Yes.
Secondly, I think consistency is a really big piece to building trust. They need to know what to expect from you, and they need to know that they're safe and cared for. So are you consistent as a principal?
So I want to pause you there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about consistency. Mm-hmm. So you're going into classrooms, you're seeing students, you're walking through the hall, you're seeing students. Sometimes students are brought to you that you need to resolve something. So maybe give us an example or two of how you display that consistency for students.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we always bring it back to what we represent as a school. Are you being a model Mustang? We also bring it back to our student pledge that we created, and we just talk about what it means to be a good person. And so those are the types of conversations that I have with students on a regular basis. And really, what is underneath all of those conversations is this mentality of restorative justice. So how am I restoring a relationship if it's been broken? And I guess before that even, how am I building a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I build relationships with students? And so when students come to me, they know that we're going to have a conversation, and they know that it's going to be around what our school expectations are. And they're posted everywhere. They're in every classroom. We review them. We talk about them. We model them. So it's just really important that when students come to me, they know that they're going to be held to a certain expectation every single time that they're with me.
I have to imagine, though, that helps you. You're not a super highly emotional person anyway, but I think that would help you or a leader stay grounded in like facts and not get emotional, because the student knows you're going to always center it around that conversation, and it gives you kind of a place to gravitate towards.
That's right. And it also provides consistency, not only in my office, but consistency across the school. So when you have that framework to go off of, students know that they're going to hear the same thing from their teachers, the same thing from the security guard, the same thing from the lunchroom staff. And so it's that framework that we go off of.
I love that. You mentioned something about forgiveness, so yeah. I would love to talk about forgiveness.
So this idea that they're kids, right? They're kids. And it's really important for students to be forgiven, and then we need to move on.
Yes.
So when students come to my office, I don't bring up things that have happened in the past.
Amen. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we talk about the here and now and how we're going to move forward. And I think that's really important for them, because they know that I'm not holding grudges. I'm not keeping a list of all of their quote-unquote wrongdoings. I also want to add, and this goes into my next piece, is that we really need to take time to praise students. So pray, I like praise. So this idea that there's research out there that for every one correction or negative thing a student hears during the day, they need 9 to 10 positive things to undo that correction or negative thing that they've heard in their mind. So that ratio is pretty...
Wait, I just want to stop there. For every one corrective or constructive thing we're trying to give a kid, mm-hmm. they need 10 positive things.
Right.
That's amazing. What a great thing for a teacher, a principal, anyone, a parent, to keep kind of in the back of their mind.
Absolutely.
I love that.
And so we really need to make sure that along with clear expectations, consistency, and forgiveness, we also take time to praise and fill our students with love too. I want to note that when you praise students, this idea of specific praise, it really goes a long way. So instead of saying to a student, oh, great job, oh, that's fantastic, you follow it up with why you're saying that. So this idea of like, great job walking in the hallways. When you walk in the hallways, you're showing your peers and everyone around us that you desire a safe environment. So it's the praise, but then also the reason why.
Yeah.
And so students don't see my compliments as hollow, yeah. But they see the value in them.
I mean, every kid wants to be seen.
That's right.
Right? Like, they want to be seen. They want to be an individual. And I think it's easy, especially if you have a big class or a big school, for kids to feel like, oh, I'm just one of many. And I really like that idea of that individual praise, so that they feel like, hey, my principal saw me today and saw me do something really incredible.
That's right.
How do you deal with, as a principal, I'm sure that you get I don't even want to say negative feedback, but that you get, you're bombarded with maybe negativity here and there. How do you deal with negativity? Either from a kid or a staff member or a parent? Like, how do you deal with that?
I just turn it into an opportunity for learning. So I find it like when I get negativity or hear feedback that maybe doesn't feel great, I look at it as an opportunity for growth. So it's the perspective that you take when hearing the negativity, right?
Yeah.
So if a kid is coming back and is saying like, man, their favorite line to me sometimes is you do too much. And so then I like to say to them like, well, what does that mean? And so they'll say like, well, you know, you have too many rules. And so then that's feedback like, oh, maybe the kid feels saturated with the amount of rules. Mm. Do they also know all the amazing things that they can do at this school,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And so for me, it's again, it's like an opportunity for reflection and an opportunity for potential growth.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I really like that. What about with staff and teachers? So as I was saying earlier, I think I was a teacher for 10 years and I had no idea, first of all, what my principals were doing and dealing with, like, in their office. I knew they were busy. I definitely have a better perspective now. How do you build trust with your staff? How do you build it both ways?
Yeah, so this is critical, right? So your staff makes up, your staff is doing the hard lifting and the hard work every single day. And so it's absolutely essential for a principal to pour into their staff. So part of pouring into them is really being intentional about building trust. And what I mean by that is, first and foremost, whether you're new to a school or whether you've been there for a while, you have to listen and learn before you do anything else. So I take time to really listen to my staff, hear what they're saying, learn from them, follow through with whatever I may hear from them, right? Follow through is a huge piece of trust, and let them know, hey, I've heard you, right? It doesn't mean that you're always going to agree with what staff is saying or doing, mm-hmm. but is your first response to react, or is your first response to listen and learn? And so I always take the approach of listening and learning from my staff. So
yeah.
That's number one. The other piece, just like students, staff also wants clear expectation. Like, as a leader, what do you expect of them? What do you expect in terms of lesson plans, in terms of student behavior, in terms of movement in the hallways, and, I mean, field trips, the list goes on and on. What do you expect of them? And do you generate those expectations together as a staff leader together, or do you dictate those expectations? And so it's really important, I think, to develop those expectations together.
Yeah, I think about, too, I just have to, I think about one of the school leaders I had the pleasure of working with, and she was a great, great person. I remember her expectations were about, have your nails painted.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I was a very ambitious young teacher, and I was like, no. I would like to know about the expectations of what you want to see in my lesson plans. Mm-hmm. And I do. And again, I mean, I want to know what's going to please the teacher. The student wants to please the teacher. The teacher wants to please the school leader. There's this chain effect. So I did want to know those expectations. And I also wanted to be seen. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't want to be another teacher in the building, one of 60 teachers.
Well, that's, you bring up a good point. When I entered the building as a first-year principal, I met with every single... I gave the opportunity for every single staff member to have a one-on-one meeting with me. And so that was in the summer. And, of course, you know, totally understandable. Like, some people couldn't make it. But I met with about 85% of my staff before I did anything else. Mm-hmm. To get to know them as a person and interact with them and hear what was going well and...
Is that where your expectation setting started? In a subtle way, maybe?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I was showing them that I value them, and I do. The staff here is second to none. Yeah. Second to none.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another piece. So there's two other things I want to talk about a little bit about building trust with staff. And one of them is there are these five facets of trust that actually Moran talks about in her book. This idea of benevolence and really having, like, personal regard for your staff. Honesty, openness, reliability, and competent. So these five facets, she argues, are like critical to building a strong foundation of trust.
Okay, so can you say them again?
Yes, absolutely. So it's benevolence, honesty, openness, reliability, and competence.
Okay.
And she would argue that without one of those, it's very hard to have a strong foundation, that all of these facets need to be attended to in really intentional ways. And along with that, I would add that you need humility. So a leader is going to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But what you do with those mistakes can actually build more trust than the mistake may have depleted trust. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that
clearly,
you may have made a mistake that has taken some trust away, but how you deal with that can rebuild the trust and then some. So just admitting that you've made a mistake, fix it, communicating it, and move on.
Yeah. And going to that person.
Absolutely.
So like if you lost that trust, maybe you did something, you're having a bad day,
yes.
You make a staff member upset because you did something. And I think the worst thing you can do is pretend it didn't happen or act like you were in the right. Like, that communication and going to that person is probably getting key.
Yeah, and it's this interesting line because leaders often want to be seen as strong and competent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Competent doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
In fact, I find leaders to be more competent when they're willing to make mistakes, right? It's these three facets of leadership, interpersonal skills, intra, inter, and cognitive ability. So do you have those three components? And so interpersonally and intrapersonally, like how are you dealing with mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And people need to see that.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't released this episode yet, so you haven't been able to hear it, but... on episode 7, I interview a co-founder of Codeverse, and we were talking about entrepreneurship in the classroom, and we kept coming back to the same topic of making mistakes is so important. Like, fail fast, fail a lot, fail fast. Like, learn from them and move on. Learn from them
and
move on. And I'm hearing this even from you.
Absolutely.
Like, as a leader in this building.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying go make massive mistakes, because then your competency might be questioned. but when you make, you know, when you make mistakes, just own them, right?
Yeah.
And so that the laughter makes me think of one final big piece of building trust with staff. And it's really, make sure you have fun. Have fun with your staff.
Yeah.
So I actually make it a point. We do a lot of, our staff competes against other local elementary school staff in like kickball and volleyball. And I try to make everyone, and I dress up and we have a cheer. And it's just really important to have fun with your staff so that they see you as someone who not only loves your job and loves them, but also loves the work that you're doing every day.
Yep.
So this idea of having fun with your staff is really important.
I love that. So let's talk about parents.
Yeah.
And how you build that trust.
So important. I mean, the parents are essentially entrusting their most precious piece of their life to you every day. And I think, unfortunately, in the busy world, and I guess I'm speaking for myself. I don't want to speak for all leaders, but some of them may agree with me. This oftentimes is the piece that is attended to last, and that really needs to change. Like, that shouldn't be the case. So when I first arrived at the school that I'm leading, I also spent time listening and learning from parents. So I made sure to go to community events, to be outside at the park, to invite parents into the office and to talk with me. So really to be sure that I was listening and learning from them. And depending on the type of environment that you're leading, it's really important to be culturally responsive and aware to the families that you're also leading, right? It's important to find out how parents want you to communicate, how often they'd like you to communicate, what's important to them. Maybe they don't celebrate holidays and they would prefer that. You need to know that, right? So yeah. When you're in your newsletters, are you being inclusive of everybody when you're putting out your school newsletter? Just being really responsive to the different family backgrounds that may be occurring in your school. And build trust accordingly.
Building trust with parents is critical to the school community. So talk to me about how you built trust with parents.
Yeah, I like that you use the word critical because it is. I find that, I'm going to speak from my own perspective here, and other leaders maybe do a better job than I did at first, but something that I wish I would have done differently early on, and I think I'm really attending to it now, is building trust with parents early on. When I was blessed with the opportunity to take over this school, I wish that I would have engaged parents early on. I did a little bit. I went into the community. I went to community meetings. I went to the local park. I had them into the building. But I wish I would have done what I'm doing now, which is like coffee with the principal, informal ways for parents to come in, have donuts and coffee, talk with me about their concerns or things that are going well or about life in general. It doesn't even have to be about school, right? So one of the pieces that is critical, just like it is with staff and students, is really listening and learning, taking time to listen and learn from your parents. And also make sure to actively engage families within the school community, both formally and informally. So be outside at entry and dismissal, interacting with parents. Have curriculum nights where parents can come into the school, learn about the curriculum outside of parent-teacher conferences, right? To make sure that they can come in, be a part of the school community without just hearing if their student's getting A's, B's, C's, D's, or F's, right? They want to come in and engage in a different way.
Yep.
Making sure that you have informal things like coffee with the principal. Also, making sure you communicate both the formal ways that parents can get involved, whether it's the local school council or the parent advisory council or the bilingual advisory council. So just making sure that parents know ways that they can get involved in the school formally and informally.
And I think there are always a group of parents, I think about my kids' school, the schools I taught at, that are always very, very active. They're always wanting to be active and present. How do you get the trust with the parents that work two jobs and you don't see them?
So you bring up a really good point. We always have to assume that parents want to be involved with their students. You know, sometimes I'll hear like, oh, well, you know, I haven't heard it at this school, but, you know, in general, you'll hear people say like, oh, you know, the parents just don't care. Well, no, they do, but they are working two and three jobs.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're out of town. Whatever it may be, you don't know, right?
Or maybe they, like, frankly, just feel like the school
is closed off.
Yeah, or that the school has a role and they shouldn't interfere. Like,
that's right.
Out of respect for the school.
Exactly. And so it's really important for teachers and leaders to trust that families want what's best for their students, always. And so, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question, but It's really, communication is really key.
Yeah.
So you can communicate with families in a variety of ways, whether it's phone calls home, not just for negative behaviors, but also for positive behaviors. Hey, I just want you to know I love having your son in class.
Yeah.
He's such a pleasure to have in class. Mm-hmm. Have a great night. Mm-hmm. Also ensuring that you send monthly newsletters home with the important dates. Updating the website. So if the parent unfortunately doesn't get the newsletter in their child's backpack, they can check the website.
Yep.
If they don't check the backpack, or maybe they don't check the website, that they answer their phone, right? So
yep.
You have to have many avenues to get the information out to parents.
Yeah. I would like for you to tell me, you're spent so many hours of your life thinking about trust right now. What surprised you about your research? What's something that kind of maybe took you off guard or you hadn't thought about before, really like kind of shifted your thinking? And then what is your biggest takeaway? When you're done and this paper is done, what are you going to look back in 5 and 10 years and be like, this is what I really learned?
Wow, Carrie, that is a very loaded question.
That's my favorite thing, when I can get someone to be, I feel it's a little.
I'm a little speechless.
So something that surprised you that you were like, wow, I really hadn't thought about it this way. And then something
absolutely.
That you're going to remember long term.
So hands down, trust is the underpinning of improvement work in schools. Without trust, the work isn't sustainable. People won't trust your vision. People won't be on board. When you leave, what happens then? So just this idea that in order to really do improvement work in schools, that you must have trust. Mm-hmm. And one of the pieces that I think that will stick with me for the rest of my life is this idea that education is such a personal business that you have to take the stance of people matter. And so this idea of benevolence that Moran talks about in her book, this idea of personal regard, you have to care about the people that you're leading, all of the people that you're leading, families, students, teachers. And if you don't show care, like genuine, authentic care for them, it doesn't really matter what you say or do.
Well, with that, I can't think of a better way to end this. Thank you on behalf of all educators and school leaders for doing this research and putting, a lot of thought and time into it. I think it is going to have a ripple effect. I'm glad that I was able to shine this spotlight on this hard work that you're doing, not only for your doctorate, but in this school. It's been a pleasure to be here today and to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
This episode of Educators to Educators is brought to you by Conover Innovative Consulting Group. At CICG, we guide and support educators, school districts, and education companies in their vision to transform teaching and learning. Visit conoverinnovativeconsulting.com to find out more about the services we provide. Join me next week as I sit down with psychologist Dr. Sarita Bakuni, as we discuss resilience in children. It is an episode you will not want to miss. Gwen, thank you so much for joining us on Educators to Educators and sharing out your research on trust in school. And to all my faithful listeners, thank you for joining us again this week. And until next time, keep on teaching on.